Teach me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace.
Teach me to
know the mighty one. Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. Good to have you listening along. We continue to have a beautiful spring. I noticed the roses are now blooming. I like to watch that kind of thing. And God is blessing us in so many ways. Of course, we're kind of ready to be over with this shelter in place thing from the coronavirus, but we're managing most of us as well as we can. We hope things are well around your house and that you're coping well. Normally I'd be inviting you to come meet with us at the Eastside Church of Christ this morning, but we haven't been meeting the last few weeks because of the shutdown. We're hoping, of course, as many are, to be able to get back to some sort of regular routine before long, where we can assemble together and praise God together and enjoy fellowship together in Christ. And in the meantime, we are offering an online lesson today at 10 o'clock. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org, and click on the live streaming there and be able to watch a lesson and some pre-recorded songs and some things like that at 10 o'clock this morning. That's also available on our Facebook page. Just look at Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama on Facebook, and that'll be streaming there as well. Later on, you can watch it on YouTube, so we have a lot of ways to check that out. We have actually at our website quite a bit of recorded video sermons, Bible classes, a lot of other Bible study options, things you might be interested in just as you tool around on that website. So we encourage you to go to eastside-church.org and look there for some things that will be uplifting to you and perhaps informational things from God's word that will really help you during this difficult time when so many of us are somewhat isolated, I think. We're going to be looking this morning in our Bible study in this lesson at the concept of genuine faith. There are a couple of passages I want to start with where the Apostle Paul is writing to his friend and son in the faith, Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, early in that letter, he says to him, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned." That's the old King James Version, faith unfeigned. The New King James Version says sincere faith. In 2 Timothy, the next letter that Paul writes to Timothy, and probably the last one of Paul's letters that we have in the Bible in terms of chronology, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." So again, that's the old King James translation. The New King James translation, instead of talking about unfeigned faith, says genuine faith. But I like that word unfeigned, unfeigned. It means something that's not fake. We have a lot of fake stuff in our world today, don't we? I'm sitting at a countertop that it looks like it's supposed to be mimicking some sort of granite or something. I'm not sure, but it's plastic, you know. There are a lot of things in our world that are fake. So that's we've come to understand that. We have a lot of that we hear about concerning fake news. It's either fake because it's not really news or fake because it's not true. And there is, unfortunately, I think, a good bit of that going around from all sides. But be that as it may, we're concerned about things being genuine. And this is true in every walk of life. You go out to buy some jewelry or a diamond for an engagement ring, whatever it might be, you want it to be the real thing. And so it is with faith. Faith that is fake or feigned is not real. It's not genuine. So the word unfeigned means something that is genuine, something that's sincere, and it's not pretended. You're not pretending your faith. I'm concerned that in the world today, in America today, if you ask people if they believe in God, a whole lot of people would still say yes. The majority of people in America would say yes, they believe in God. A lot of people in America would say that they believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So a lot of us are professing faith. We're saying that we have faith, but how much of that faith is genuine? And so I want to talk with you this morning about that aspect, whether or not your faith is a genuine thing. Is it real? Is it unfeigned? You know, when I was a kid, we used to play a lot of pretend games, play-like games. You know, we'd pretend to be army soldiers, or we'd pretend to be cops and robbers or superheroes or whatever it might be. But it was all pretend. We knew it wasn't real. I'm thinking that there may be folks in the world today who don't have real faith, but they don't know it's not real. They're not genuine in what they're believing, what they say they believe, but they haven't really connected the dots that maybe what they say they believe isn't what they really believe. And so I want to talk with you about that today. In Psalm 81 and verse 15, the Bible says that the haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him. Boy, that's strong language right there. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him. So you have a lot of people that say, oh yes, Christ is my Lord. I live at the foot of the cross. Jesus is King and all of that. And then they go around and, you know, don't do anything that Jesus said. Jesus asked this question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Boy, that's a poignant question, isn't it? Why, are we saying we believe in Jesus and then really kind of ignoring what he says we're supposed to be doing in our lives? Are we living out what he's telling us to do? We want to have a faith that is unfeigned, that's not fake, that's genuine, sincere, and pure. That's the only kind of faith that's going to save anybody, that's going to lead us in the way that leads to life. That's the kind of faith that we want. So I want to talk with you about that kind of faith this morning. And in order to have an unfeigned and genuine faith, the first thing we need to understand is we need to have a faith that comes from God's Word. Any other faith that we have, any other way of developing our faith, any other origin to our faith other than the Word of God is not going to be genuine. It's not going to be real. I mean, you can have, you know, something that looks like a diamond, even, you know, feigns the hardness of a diamond, the sparkle of a diamond, but it's not really a diamond because it wasn't produced in the way that diamonds are produced. It's not made of what real diamonds are supposed to be made of. And so that is the case with our faith. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's God's Word that produces faith. It's God's Word that is the origin of faith. If your faith is based on, you know, something somebody said that you haven't checked out in God's Word, maybe you've been listening to parents or grandparents or people at work, or, you know, what's on the television, or some preacher as far as that goes, whatever. You've been listening to things and you've developed a faith based on things that you've heard, but you don't know if that's in God's Word or not. You need to get into God's Word, because genuine faith, true faith, is faith that is based on the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. See, the Apostle Paul knew the danger. The Apostle Paul could have spouted off a lot of human wisdom and, you know, talked about this and that, what the philosophers said, what the, you know, religious leaders of the day said, what was popular in his day. He could have talked about all of that, but he didn't use persuasive words of human wisdom. He shared the Word of God with people. Our faith needs to stand not in the wisdom of men, not in our think-sos or the think-sos of others, but in the power of God, which is found in His Word. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. We need to found our faith, first and foremost, in the Word of God. That's why we want to study it and read it. Listen to it being read. Listen to it being preached. Get into the Word of God. Found your faith on what it says, not what tradition has said, not what your church has said for 100, 200, or 1,000 years, but what the Word of God says. Faith is something that comes from the Word of God, if it's genuine, if it's real. Secondly, if faith is real, it's something you're going to live by. In Romans chapter 1, I mentioned just a second ago, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Did you hear that? The just shall live by faith. So faith is not something that you just have as, you know, an attitude of mind, but it's something that you live by. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, the great apostle Paul, talking about his own faith, says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in faith, that faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, the apostle was living a life of faith. It wasn't just a matter of believing something. He was living it. And so when we think about ourselves, do you have faith in God? Do you have faith in Jesus? Are you living that? See, that should change the way your life is. It should change your whole life. Paul, in fact, says, I'm not even living my own life anymore. The life I'm living in the faith of Christ. It's no longer I that live, he says, but Christ lives in me. That's genuine faith. That's the real thing. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, the writer there says that the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Faith, the Hebrew writer will go on and say in chapter 11 and verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith causes us to hope and believe and trust in things perhaps that we haven't seen, but God said them, so we believe them to be true. There's a story about a little boy, 3 years old, and his father was going to take him out to fly a kite. And the little boy had never flown a kite before and never seen one flown before. His dad was explaining to him that they'd take this kite and they'd run a little bit with it and the wind would catch it and it would go up in the air and it would fly. And the little boy looked a little puzzled at first, but then because his dad said it, he went out with his dad. He didn't know really what to expect. But before long, of course, they got that kite up and flying. And the boy was shouting out, I knew it would, I knew it would, I knew it would fly because you said it would. That's how our faith in God needs to be. We may not understand everything he's telling us to do, but if he says it'll fly, it'll fly. And we need to do what he says to do. We need to live by our faith. If it's real, if it's genuine, that's what we're doing. Another aspect of faith that I think is important for us to, as Christians especially, to understand is that faith is something that causes us to fully rely on God. And we demonstrate that reliance by praying to him. If we really believe there's a God in heaven who's all-powerful and that his Son has given us access to him, and we've got problems in our lives or situations that we're dealing with, why in the world wouldn't we take those to God in prayer if we're really believers? You see, that's the point. Back in Luke chapter 18, Jesus spoke a parable in Luke 18 and verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not to lose heart. And he tells this parable about a judge in a certain city that did not regard man or fear God. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice from me, from my adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God or regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. Now, let's just stop and think about this parable for a minute. So you've got this judge, and he's just doesn't really care about what people think. He doesn't really care about what God thinks. He's just got this job as a judge. But this woman comes to him with a case, and she just keeps on coming to him and begs for justice. And although he didn't care much about her situation, about justice or anything else, but he would grant her justice because she kept on requesting it, because she was troubling him by her persistence. And so the Lord says this, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? What Jesus is saying is that God will surely give justice to his people. In this life or the life to come, you can count on it. God's people will get justice from God. But Are people still praying for justice? You know, we have problems in our lives. We feel like we've been unjustly treated. A lot of times we try to take that on that out on others. That's not the way to deal with it. If we believe that there's a God who is in heaven, who's powerful, who answers prayer, who can help us, we'd pray to him. What about our faith right now in this coronavirus pandemic? Are we praying to God? Do we trust God? God has promised to help his people. God is a God who offers healing and protection, and he offers a wonderful home in heaven after this life is over. He offers comfort in time of sorrow. He offers help in time of trouble. That's the God that we read about in the Bible. We should be turning to him, especially if we claim to have faith in him. I mean, if we're claiming to have faith in God and we're not turning to him right now, our faith is truly not genuine. Let's have unfeigned faith. Let's have genuine faith, faith that prays. Jesus asked the question, you know, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth, faith that is involved in prayer, in constant and continual prayer? Also, if we have faith in God and that faith is based on God's word, we'll be speaking God's word. We'll be telling the story of the gospel to others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul writes about this. He says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak. You know, if you really believe it, you're going to talk about it. A lot of people around this part of the country have faith in their football teams. They have a lot of faith in their football teams, and some of it is justified maybe, and some of it's not. But almost every football fan, you know, at the beginning of the season, they're just sure that their team might be in it for the national championship or whatever. And they have that kind of faith. They talk about it, right? Things that you have faith in, things that you really believe in, you're going to talk about. Do we really have faith in God? Are we talking about him? Are we sharing the message of his truth with others? Do we want to be involved in conversations about spiritual things, about right and wrong, about what the Bible says? See, if we have genuine faith, that will be what we're involved in, talking about it, speaking it. If we believe, we'll speak. And then if we have genuine faith, we'll have faith that continues even in trials. Difficulties in life should not cause our faith to waver if it's genuine faith. The Apostle John writes in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, quoting Jesus, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Faithfulness, no matter what we go through, no matter what trouble or trial we're experiencing, if it's genuine, we'll have that kind of faith. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, as they're traveling around preaching the gospel and establishing churches in the book of Acts, in Acts 14 and verse 21, says, when they preached the gospel to that city and made the disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. You know, if you think life, the way that leads to life is an easy, broad road that you know, doesn't have any trouble on it, you're misapprehending that. That is not correct. It is a difficult way. There are a lot of bumps on the road of faith. And if we have genuine faith, we'll just keep on plugging along. Those bumps and problems, that's what we grow our faith on. James will say in James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. We'll have endurance and patience the more our faith is tested. Our faith will be better by being tested. So when we're going through difficult times, like right now with this pandemic, the shelter at home situation, so many businesses being closed down, people losing jobs, people in fear for their health, this is the time, again, that our faith should be helping us, that our faith should be becoming stronger and more pure. The Apostle Peter writes along this line in 1 Peter chapter 1 and down in starting in verse 6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see that our faith is like gold that's tested by fire. It just becomes purer and purer the hotter the fire gets. That's the way genuine faith is. That's the way genuine faith is. We need to have that kind of faith in God, that the tougher things get, the more we rely on Him, the more we know we can trust Him. So what we're saying this morning is that we want to have faith that is genuine. And what we've said so far is genuine faith comes from a hearing of the Word of God. Genuine faith is something that we live by. It's something that will cause us to pray continuously. Faith is something that speaks God's Word. It says what it believes. It stands up for what it believes. It continues in trials. And because it's all of that, genuine faith is going to make an impression on others. If you have genuine faith, whether it's at this current time of difficulty and trial that we're going through, or maybe easier times to come in the future, but if you have genuine faith, it's going to make an impression on others. When Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." I mean, what a statement. Your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Paul had not been to Rome at this point in his life. He knew some people in Rome, and he'll greet them at the end of the letter, but he'd not been there, but he knows this. He knows that about their faith. Their faith was spoken of all over the then known world. It's really an amazing testament to the way these people were living their lives. If you have genuine faith, others are going to know about it. They're going to hear about it. We're not going to be like that, you know, kid I heard about years ago. He went away to college. He came back home. His preacher was talking to him. His preacher said, "I was really afraid you wouldn't do well at college when people found out you were a Christian." And the young man said, "Oh, no problems. They didn't find out." So that's, you know, I'm afraid that a lot of people are living their faith, but they're not living their faith. Nobody even knows they're a Christian. Nobody even knows they have faith. If you have genuine faith, people will know about it. They'll be able to see it in the way that you live. They'll hear it in your speech. They'll understand it from your prayer life. All of those things. Genuine faith is faith that makes an impression on others. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Therefore I also, having heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So Paul continues to hear about the faith of the Ephesians. He's at least hundreds of miles away from them when he writes that to them, but he's still hearing of their faith. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and this is not long after that church had been planted and the Christians there had been converted, and yet he says, "From you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Wow, here's this group of Christians. They have such faith, and they haven't been Christians long, but their faith is known all over these regions of Macedonia and Achaia, but a lot of other places too, every place, Paul says, their faith to God has gone out. Do people know about your faith? Do people know about your faith not only in this community, but far and wide? That's the kind of faith that's genuine. That's the kind of faith that's real. That's the kind of faith that'll change this world for the better. I want to say something along this line that it's important for us to understand as Christians, as people of faith, if that's what we truly are, that it's our faith that will change this world. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ that will change this world. It's Christ Himself that's going to change this world for the better. We can play our political games and get angry at one another and all of that sort of thing, but that's not going to be what changes this world for the better. Your faith in Jesus Christ, living out that faith, speaking that faith, letting it be known what you believe in and why, that's going to change the world. Others will be encouraged by that. Again, Paul writes to the Romans, Romans 1 and verse 12, he says, "I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me." People who have faith are encouraged by others with faith. And it's like, it's like a virus, but it's a good virus. It's catching. It will spread. Faith spreads when people live it out, when they're true to it, when they believe it. That's not to say that people with faith are, you know, easy marks or that they are people who are willing to give up easily and are willing to be silenced. That's not people of faith. We need to understand that faith also fights the good fight. in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let me talk to you about that verse for a minute. First of all, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a fight. It's not, as I said, it's not a political fight. It's not a military fight. We're fighting for the truth of God. We're fighting against the forces of evil to get people to believe in God and his son, Jesus Christ, and in the word of God, which Jesus left us through his apostles and prophets. We're fighting that fight. It is truly a fight of faith. It takes much determination, much sacrifice, just as any battle might. But we do it that we might lay hold on eternal life. Now, the name of our program is The Way That Leads to Life. And in order to walk that way that leads to life, we need to fight the good fight of faith. It's not an easy thing to do. You'll have a lot of adversaries, a lot of things to face, a lot of things to overcome, but you'll do it in faith. And in that kind of faith, you can win the victory over the world. That's the wonderful promise of 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. That's a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful statement. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. See, genuine faith is something that's got to be lived out. It's got to be demonstrated. It's got to be shown. And it's got to be shown even the most difficult circumstances, no matter what the obstacles, no matter who the adversaries. Faith must be shown. I'm turning in my Bible to James chapter 2 and verse 15. And I want to share several verses with you here before we close about the nature of active faith. James says in James 2 and verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? See, that faith is fake, isn't it? You say you have faith, but you don't do anything. That's a fake faith. That's a faith that is feigned. He says, if a brother or sister is naked or destitute of daily food, one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Wow, that's a stronger statement. It's not just fake faith, it's a dead faith. If you're not showing faith in your life, demonstrating it by the way you live, how it changes your life and the things that you do, the obedience to God's word, if you're not showing it by those things, your faith is dead. He goes on and he says, well, someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. Right. We show our faith by our works. Don't kid yourself. You can run around saying, oh, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. Let's see something. Let's do something. Let's show our faith by our works. If it's genuine, we'll be doing that. James goes on and explains, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And he says that again, doesn't he? And then he talks about Abraham. We talked about Abraham not long ago. Abraham, our father, was justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. He was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Oh, friends, let's make our faith real. Let's make it active. It's one thing to sit around and say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe in God. I believe in the Bible. Let's do something about it. Let's demonstrate it in living it out, showing it in our prayers, speaking God's word to others, being faithful through trials, making an impression on others with our faith. Let's fight the good fight. Let's overcome the world. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, we learn that the gospel was preached to the Israelites in the Old Testament, some good news, but it wasn't profitable to them because it wasn't mixed with faith. Hope the lesson has blessed your life this morning. We encourage you again to tune in to our online lesson, eastside-church.org, this morning at 10 o'clock. Tune in again next week for The Way That Leads to Life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.